When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Franny Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond's here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Here is Letitia.
Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider sharing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. This is episode 202, Life After James Ward-Prowse. We have a jam-packed episode with the fallout from Gillingham and all the craziness from Norwich to go through. And we have all the news regarding James Ward-Prowse and Tino Livramento, transfer roundups. Plus, we have to look ahead to next week's visit to Plymouth Argyle. Joining me as ever is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton and Tim Bazance. We are back as a three for the first time since the end of last season. So it's good to have a full squad to choose from.
Gruesome threesome.
Gruesome threesome. Yeah, I hope you're well. Start, Kevin, I'll start with you. How are you doing?
Not bad. I had a drink last night, so my head's hurting.
That's just like old times then.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while since then. It's been a little bit, not hungover, but just a little bit. How about you?
Yeah, I'm okay. It's been a busy week. Yeah. It just doesn't. I know we recorded last week, but it doesn't feel. I mean, because there's been so much going on this week with Tino and with Prowse and the two matches, and yeah, it's just. And I went out in the week as well, which I don't do anymore. But yeah, it's just.
Where'd you go?
I went to the Concord Club. I went to see.
Oh, Christ! Yeah, of course. I forgot that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went to see Matt Letiz, James Beattie, and Ricky Lambert at the Concord in Eastleigh, which was. It was fantastic. Yeah, some really, really good stories. Really funny as well. I had a real fun. I haven't laughed that hard in a long time.
All right.
So it was nice. Like my cheeks were aching at the end of it, and it was like, God, this feels weird. I don't normally laugh.
Yeah, it was Letiz the funniest.
Letiz was brilliant. Yeah, he was brilliant. It was kind of like it was off the cuff, some of it. I mean, there was a thing that Ricky Lambert said that when he first signed for Alan Pardew. He was banging in the goals. He was doing really well. And Pardew called him into his office and he said to him, lift up your shirt. And Ricky was like, excuse me? He's like, lift up your shirt. So he obviously lifted up his shirt and...
get your tits out.
And Pardew was like, that's fucking disgusting. And Letiz was like, what, do you have your flies undone as well?
I've heard that story before, yeah. But yeah, I can imagine with Letiz.
Yeah, it was it was great. I never expected it to be that fun. I mean, a lot of people expected it to be full of conspiracy theories and anti-vax talk and stuff, but no, it was none of that. It was.
I think they were told beforehand, keep it strictly to football, lads. don't drag beats into it as well.
Yeah, but no, it was good. And Tim, how are you? It's good to have you back on.
Yeah, it's good to be back. Lots of crazy news, lots going on, and obviously lots of unfortunate news, in my opinion. But happy to be here and happy to be able to talk to you guys for first time in a long. Wow, so let's have some fun.
Let's try and have some fun anyway, because I mean, we lost a few things this week. We lost Tino. We lost our captain. The beating heart of this side, James Ward-Prowse. We lost our status in the EFL Cup for another year. Our winning streak of one. And probably should lose another set piece coach as well. And I've lost...
half the squad as well.
Yeah. I've lost my temper quite a bit as well. So, yeah, and it's been an incredibly tough week for any Saints fans to endure. But, it ended in that 8-goal thriller and a point, which could have been a lot worse. Probably should have been a lot better also, but all in this week, and it's never a dull moment, is it, Kevin?
No, I can't. When you went through that, I just couldn't believe that, Tino, this has all happened since we last recorded.
I know.
It seems so long ago.
And Gillingham, that was like Tuesday night, and it's crazy. But yeah, I mean Gillingham was just god-awful, wasn't it? I mean, Russell Martin made some harsh but fair comments post-match on Tuesday night, which I'll get into shortly, and I want your opinion on what he said. Some very under par performances at Gillingham and dumped out of the league, but dumped out by League Two opposition yet again. We're getting some bitter comments from the fans, and I've been guilty of that too. But I'll try to take a positive spin because, you focus on the bigger picture and all that. Come December, we'll probably forget about this game completely. And this week, we don't need the extra games fattening out the already loaded fixtures and the weeks, and players were all changed from last Friday and they're young. And but I mean, if you add up all the Premier League appearances of the starters on Tuesday night, it amounts to 641. So there's plenty of experience to be able to deal with Gillingham. And the truth is, we just didn't. And I'm gutted. I am really gutted to have lost that game.
Yeah, not only did we just lose the game, we just deservedly lost the game. It's not like we lost it on, penalty kicks after, a couple of large injuries on our team. We rotated the entire team out. There was no gelling whatsoever, and we got pummeled and deserved to get kicked out. Now, do I want to be kicked out? No, but understandably, the loss, well, it was deserved. And
maybe
while you have
to keep that on.
Yeah.
We have 8 more games in the league, so if you added up the EFL Cup, what's the focus? The focus is to get back promoted, and, let's focus on the league. That's what people are going to say. Well, it's kind of bullshit that we lost. Now, if you got to put up a good fight and you lost to Spurs away or something like that, then so be it. But we lost to Gillingham away, and it's a bunch of bullshit, and it sucks. So.
And Norwich, yeah, wow. I mean, still catching our breath, I guess, and just a crazy outcome, goals galore. Dodgy errors at the back, just set pieces once again, and we're conceding a goal a game to set pieces, but that's not changing, is it? But yeah. Anyway, before we get into the news and before we get into all this, if you're interested in joining our Discord, then please get in touch, and you can join in with our game discussions, predictions league, fantasy football, fantasy championship, anything. It's all good fun. It's all completely free as well. So if you want to join us there, then get in touch and. We shall get you in. And also, if you want to support the show, then just please visit buymeacoffee.com/in that number. Any donation would be really, really appreciated. As I say, got a lot to go through today, guys. So we'll get into the ITN news now.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, first thing on the agenda. I guess we'll do this chronologically. Tino Livramento completed his move to Newcastle. Kevin, gutted, disappointed, shocked, or, you know, expected?
Gutted and expected. Yeah, there's a lot of noise about this transfer. And we thought that, you know, from his comments as well, that he might show a little bit of loyalty to the team for nursing him back from injury and sticking with him and, you know, proving himself in the team for a whole season. He hasn't had a chance to do, albeit in the Championship. But, yeah, he couldn't resist the lure of playing for Sharjah FC in the Premier League and the Champions League. So... I don't really blame him, to be honest. He's clearly got the quality to make it in the Premier League. Although, you know, as a choice, you know, getting guaranteed playing time for a whole season or being Kieran Trippier's understudy for God knows how long, you know, for me that would be a difficult choice, but, you know, maybe it just does come down to money in the end.
No, maybe it was a difficult choice. I mean, he's got to up and leave, isn't he? He's still young. But, yeah, on the bench yesterday for their... 5-1 win over Aston Villa. Never come on, of course, so obviously not needed. But yeah, Tim, how are you feeling about this? Are you do you feel like, because we've seen a lot of disappointed fans, and a lot of fans are saying that, you know, we're putting a lot of effort into his rehab, and, you know, as soon as he gets a chance to go, he's gone. And are you feeling like that? Are you feeling bitter? Are you feeling disgusted? Or are you just like, yeah, you got to accept it for what it is?
Well, you don't have to accept it, but you got to recognize the situation at hand. So if there are two players that I didn't want to lose this offseason, Tino was number two. And recognizing why, they saw the potential and they saw the buildup of what was could be, you know, the potential that he has. So to me, with Newcastle coming in with such a large bid, basically Southampton played the money game of, they're holding out for the money that they feel is appropriate for the value of the player, and then they're given the opportunity to give the player the choice in that hand. So Tino found his an opportunity to go to Newcastle, slot in as their right back. It looks like he's going to still be able to play maybe in the Champions League, but with Trippier being the locked in starter and the captain of the team, who knows exactly what'll be, you know, coming about. So, you know, racking up the incoming money. Obviously, we made a profit on him, the exact amount, with the sell-on clause that Chelsea has. Don't know. And ultimately, I think he has a massive potential. I would have hoped for him to stay at least one season. And if we got promoted, then he would have been even more valuable and more money. And, you know, it's the player. It's not about the money for me, and it stinks. And I really wish that he would have stuck around, but he didn't, and wish him all the best of luck. And we'll always appreciate seeing him play, in person.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Well said again. Yeah. And this one really, really hurts, is James Ward-Prowse. Bid accepted, has not actually been confirmed yet, but, you know, well, Russell Martin has said that he's gone. I think he's having his medical, or he's had his medical, is what I've heard. Off to West Ham. Some split statements from the fans regarding this. I'm not here to tell anyone how they should respond to it. It's up to them, of course. But for me, this is just the consequence of relegation, isn't it? It's hard to take, and he will go down as a club legend for me. And I know people have said that to be a club legend, you need to be like Letiz and play, you know, one team club. I don't think that's true. I think the fact that he's been here since he was 8 years old. And he does give everything he's got on the field. Maybe not so much in recent months, but that's the whole team, not just him. But he has been the most important person at this club for a long, long time. Certainly since we've started this podcast, Kevin. And just fond memories and just hardly a bad game. Giving his all the time. Plays nearly every week, every minute. Some incredible moments to take away. And it's hard to let him go. It's hard to move on. But again, he has to fulfill his, I mean, what is he, 27, 28? He needs to be playing in the Premier League. He needs to be playing European football. And that's going to increase his chances for playing for England. So, and at this point, Kevin, are we even going to discuss the wages that he's going to be on, or the increase on that? Is it really worth it?
I don't think it would be that significant, to be honest. I think it is
From Championship to Premier League, it is. I'm not saying so much in our season, but...
The rumour is that he's one of the players that didn't have the clause in his contract that his pay would be docked if we got relegated to the Championship. So, ostensibly, he has been earning the same wages as he was in the Premier League. And, you know, West Ham are a big club, but I don't think they're offering City money. I think it's more about, and, you know, you've got to be offering quite a lot for Prowse to, you know, up and leave, even if it is to London. I suppose he doesn't necessarily have to move anywhere. But, yeah, I think, you know, there's a chance of staying in the Premier League, breaking that free kick scoring record, and, yeah, having the chance to play in Europe. He said before that he's, you know, that's been the highlight of his career, playing in Europe, and he get the chance to do that this season, replacing Declan Rice. And, yeah, his maybe last chance to get into that England team. You know, he's reaching the end of his international career if he has one. So, yeah, we can't blame him. I think 30 million is probably, you know, around the lower end of what we're expecting it would take to let go of him. There obviously hasn't been that huge amount of interest that we were expecting. So, yeah, it's a shame to lose him, but, you know, I think it suits him.
Yeah, and Tim, this wasn't a surprise at all. We knew it was coming, but some fans seem to are acting like it is a surprise, like because we've gone this far into the window without losing him. I think a lot of fans were thinking that he would stay, or he has decided to stay on, but it was never going to happen, was it? He was always going to move to a Premier League team, whoever it was.
I always held out hope. I felt that, you know, he could have been that guy who just wanted to stay in Southampton, regardless of the level of play. But congrats to him for being able to want to succeed at the European level. I think he probably got a slight pay bump. If he was on rumored as 100,000 a week, he probably, I'm just going to take a guess at like 120 there at West Ham, because he'll be playing Europa level. So I think that with the challenge of being and the opportunity for him to go into probably a potential Euros campaign. And I think he has a good shot at it as well, especially if there's a couple injuries here and there. He can definitely slot in. So to me, I said the two players I didn't want to lose this offseason, this was obviously number one. And
yeah, we've lost them both in a week. Yeah.
Yeah. And culturally, James Ward-Prowse is Southampton. Southampton was James Ward-Prowse. And we can call it the Kane years, actually, if you saw that, because during the time in which Kane was at Tottenham in the high level or in the Premier League and continually playing, James Ward-Prowse had the exact same time frame. So to us, I guess that's the level. And to me, I fell to my knees and feeling pretty hurt from all of it. But I wish him all the best. And while I'm sure as hell not going to root for West Ham, I'm definitely going to be rooting for him in whatever he wants whatever he does. So I wish him all the best. I think the identity of the team is really going to be tough to make up. And with the Norwich game, I felt there was something missing there, especially in the center of the pitch.
Apparently he was at St Mary's yesterday to say his goodbyes.
Well, I didn't see him. I think he was in the box. He said his goodbyes to the players. He was in
to the players in the dressing room.
He was in the box. But, Kev, how do you think he's going to do at West Ham?
Well enough.
You think he's definitely going to slot into that Declan Rice mould?
Yeah, I think he's definitely
going to score more goals than Declan Rice, because that wasn't
perfect
part of his game.
I suppose it depends how West Ham are going to play this season. I mean, they're not particularly favourites to set the league on fire. You know, I think most people expect them to struggle this season, especially with the fixture congestion that they'll have from playing in Europe. But, I think they'll be fine, and I think Prowse will be fine. You know, like when Højbjerg went to Spurs.
Speaking of Spurs, they've just given a penalty away, I think.
Have they? Is it Brentford the penalty?
Yeah, 1-0 up, though. Sorry, yeah, go on, carry on.
No, I think, you know, it's one of those signings that will go underway. He'll do a job, and it'll be satisfactory. But, I don't think he'll get more praise at West Ham than he has been at Southampton.
Maybe. Hopefully he gets more praise anyway, but in the eyes of Gareth Southgate. But, Kevin, another one coming in. Joe Lumley. This is when we were recording last week. This was a rumor that was strong enough that it was going to be made pretty soon. But yeah, he's here now, and whether you like it or not, we've got ourselves a third goalkeeper.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from what I'm hearing, he is absolute shite, so he'll fit right in.
Yeah, a lot of the Middlesbrough fans, I've seen it on social media now after you mentioned it last week, are saying, good luck, he was dog shit.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah. Tim, another one coming in as well. Arsenal prospect, Zach Orr. Yeah, he comes in. No doubt he's going to link up the under-21s. Described as being a commanding centre-back, and he's played at Arsenal for a decade, but left without receiving his senior debut. So, yeah, it seems like a good move for everyone involved there.
Yeah, I was in awe of the signing.
Yay!
I think he's going to be awesome.
Why didn't I think of these awe puns?
Well, as long as he's not awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a nickname ready for him, whether he's good or bad, doesn't he?
Yeah, there you go. It's there. Lewis Payne is joined Newport County on loan for the season. That's another one we expected. He just keeps going out on loan, keeps coming back. But yeah, so he's at Newport County for the year. Ainsley Maitland-Niles has gone to Lyon. Bit of a surprise. He didn't have a club, did he? Because while he was with us, I think Arsenal said that they weren't going to renew his contract. So yeah, so he's joined up with Duya Cheletatsar at Lyon.
That's fine. Yeah, no, speaking of Lewis Payne, didn't he score against Newport in the cup?
Yeah, I think he did. No, he got an assist, didn't he? He didn't score.
Ah, right.
He got the assist. He came on and yeah, that's when we won 8-0, wasn't it? But yeah, it's fine. Fans Forum is on Tuesday, the 15th of August, between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. The panel will be Russell Martin, Marianne Spacey-Cow, Jason Wilcox, and Mr. Dyson himself, Phil Parsons. Definitely a great one to go if you can. And if anyone's listening to this that is going, please try and get some information about incoming transfers, about replacing the likes of Tino, replacing the likes of James Ward-Prowse. And after yesterday's performance, we need centre-backs. Not just one, we need quite a few of them, because I don't think Bednarik and Stevens can play together. And one of them is not going to... both of them aren't going to go out of the team, are they? So I do think we need to get some centre-backs.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Transfer news. Have you got any transfer news that you want to discuss, Kevin?
A bit. I mean, Lavi is the obvious one. It looks like he's going, but we've whipped up a real bidding war, haven't we? Every time Liverpool have come with an offer that's under 50 million, we've told them to fuck off. But now Chelsea apparently are interested. Now they signed Caicedo. I don't know how serious that is, but I think the signals are clear to Liverpool. Stump up 50 mil, he's yours.
Thing is, they've been saying this all summer.
Yeah.
You pay 50 million, he's yours, and they'd be like, oh, 30 million, 35 million.
Yeah, I don't think you're quite listening.
Yeah, I think the last bid, or even the Chelsea bid, was 48, wasn't it? So, 50.
And we saw that, we're not fucking about. Same was with West Ham. They started with low ball offers for Prowsey. When they come with 30 million, okay, fine.
Yeah, exactly.
He
knew he would have the pick of clubs, really, in the Premier League, and he's got a big choice to make if he does still have a choice between Chelsea and Liverpool, if Chelsea are still in the market. Personally, if he has a choice, though, I think he'll choose Chelsea, simply because if you remember, just after we signed him, they put in a stupid bid last season saying that they wanted him, but nothing obviously happened. Saints said he wasn't for sale and they had no reason to sell him, obviously being in the Premier League still. But in terms of his career, Tim, do you think Liverpool would be the right move for him? Because I mean, if you look at last season, Chelsea are heading in the wrong direction, aren't they? I mean, they've lost Havertz, Mount, Kovacic, Pulisic, Aubameyang, Kante, Poch has just come in. And there's massive changes at Chelsea, and everyone's unsure on how they're going to do. But with Liverpool, you know, Henderson's gone, Fabinho's gone. There's an opportunity for him to fill that void from the off and start from the off and make that position his own.
I think Liverpool right now are a much more stable team than Chelsea. And that's not because of last season's results. I think that Todd Bailey and signing literally every person on the planet who is a teenager or anybody who has quality with for stupid money on top of being able to try to slot everything in, it's just – it doesn't seem like it's the best results. And if you follow the LA Dodgers as a team over here, and who Bailey is the owner of, or a part of the ownership group, he just throws as many big money players as he can, hopes for the best, and pushes on. So I think that
perfect way to run a business.
Oh yeah. I think that Liverpool with Jurgen Klopp and the openings with the players leaving and the development of it, I think he'll be better than, is it Bajic? B-A-J-E-T-I-C, Stefan. He's also closer to a 19-year-old, and he's a midfielder, defensive midfielder. And I think he'll, European football, there's going to be a lot of chances for him. He should go to Liverpool for the sake of his career, but, you know, if you want to go to get for the entertainment in the team, go to Chelsea. Go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be a good move for him because of Liverpool. Kev,
James, makes perfect sense.
It does, yeah. James McAtee from Man City. I think he was on at loan to Sheffield United last year, which they lost, and you know he was a big part of them going up. I'm not too sure if that. I mean, that seems to have died out a little bit now. I'm not too sure what's going on there. Have you heard that one?
No, I don't know anything about him at all.
Yeah, he played 37 games for Sheffield United and scored 9 goals last season in the Championship, and obviously they got promoted. So losing him they're not fond of it. Put it that way. And speaking of Sheffield United, apparently they put in a bid for Will Smallbone.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to go anywhere, is it?
Well, I mean, I hope not. But at the end of the day, they're Premier League now, aren't they? So again, it's the same situation. But James Ward-Prowse obviously is a Premier League player. I'm not quite sure Will Smallbone's there yet, even though he's had a couple of good performances lately. But
took a bit of a knock to the ankle yesterday, so he might have a little injury.
Yeah, impact injury, yeah. And I've also seen that Crystal Palace are interested in Alex McCarthy.
Yeah, please. I think there'll be a crowd of fans willing to drive him there.
Yeah, I'll take Bazunu as well. Take them both. No, yes. Buy one, get one free.
Yeah. But who else have we got? I mean, okay, Flynn Downs, we talked about him. Apparently, he's having a medical as we speak, so that seems to be a done deal.
True. Yeah.
Bella Kotchap.
Yeah, to Dortmund in the region of €20 million. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, he was nowhere. He's nowhere near the team. I haven't seen him in training. He's obviously not going to be involved as.
Yeah, I think him and Salisu, I was quite clear that they were going places, not to the Championship. So, yeah, I think if Lianco or apparently Roman Pero are other options as centre-back, I think we do need to be looking at other options and getting a replacement.
I hope they're working on replacements. And I know that they've said that we need to trim down this squad. We need to get players out the door before we can get them back in the door. But time's going to run out. We're going to lose all these players. We're not going to have time to replace them. So I hope they are working on finding these replacements.
Yeah. I think you'll see a lot of loans coming in towards the end of the window. So if we're looking for players, I think Downs will be the start. And if you're looking for a center back, maybe a younger one who wants to get some game time, or an older one who's not going to be the main player in their squad and is looking to get that game time. So I think you'll see beyond Downs, I think I'm going to guess with 2 more signings and both of them will be loan. I don't know if we'll have a permanent.
No, I don't know. I think they need to make a permanent center back and the rest of it will probably.
Oh, I do too, but I don't think they will, though.
No, this is the worry. Yeah, Kev, any more news?
Yeah. I mean, there was talk of Max Aarons, but that seems to have gone a little bit quiet, doesn't it?
Well, he's gone to Bournemouth, so that's why.
Oh, right, fuck, I missed that somehow.
Yeah, he went to Bournemouth.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know.
Peru, is he still at Swansea?
Yeah, he's still there.
Maybe we can go in for an offer on him. And everyone's after Shea Adams, but it doesn't look like he's going anywhere.
I don't know. I just seeing him on the bench all the time, it does make me worry. But I'll get into that when we go on to the Norwich game. Apparently,
Everton, Bournemouth, Palace, all in for him.
Palace need a striker, don't they?
They do. That's about it.
Okay, right. Loans then. Loans. Nico Lawrence at Colchester. So he made his first start at Colchester's 2-1 loss at Bradford yesterday. So, yeah, not a great start for him.
Mark Hughes is Bradford, though, aren't
they? Yeah. Lewis Payne, as we mentioned, Newport County, played the last 10 minutes, but Newport won 4-0 over Doncaster. So, yes, that was good. He came on then. Under-21s. Yes, the fixtures for the Under-21 Premier League Cup have been announced, and we face Celtic, Dynamo Zagreb, Lyon and Valencia. So, yeah, playing Newcastle today at 12:30.
Sorry, they were 5-2 down last time I looked. Ballard had scored two within 6 minutes.
They lost 5-3. So, yeah, Ballard got a hat-trick, though. So,
oh, wow.
Good stuff for him. And their next match is Aston Villa next Friday. At 7 o'clock at the Snow Stadium. The women, then, they are playing right now as well, and I believe they are 1-0 down to hashtag United. But they have got another signing, another defender, Izzy Milne from the Chelsea Academy. Apparently, Tim, she turned down the opportunity to play for Michigan State. She made the right choice. She stayed, and then Saints have snapped her up. But, yeah, they're still in their preseason. They played Billericay Town at Snows last Sunday, and what a result that was. I'm sure you've all seen that. Three players completed their hat-tricks in an incredible 14-1 win. Bear with me here. So, Molly Pike, Katie Wilkinson, Lucia Kendall, all with hat-tricks. Lexi Lloyd-Smith with a brace. Alice Griffiths, Megan Wynn, and Rosie Parnell rounded up the 14. And as I say, playing hashtag United right now in their final preseason game, and they are 1-0 down. Under-18s, then. They played Crystal Palace on Saturday, and they lost 5-0 in their opening game of the under-18 Premier League. Tommy Dobson-Ventura was sent off after two yellow cards as well. So,
what a name.
It's cool, isn't it? Another double-barrel name. We do love them. They play Aston Villa also next week. Saturday the 19th, and that is at home, Stapleford. Okay, right. As I say, lots of matches to go through, and we'll start with the Priestfield Stadium, the Carabao Cup first round against Gillingham. Incredibly gutting result and performance. I mean, completely shocked. No one really saw that coming. Knocked out of the Carabao Cup first hurdle to League Two Gillingham. Yeah. And you just have to feel for the 1,800-odd that travelled to Kent on Tuesday. Be utterly embarrassed and let down by that display. And
sorry, there were 1,800 travelling fans?
Yeah.
That's about a quarter of the attendance.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it took a good lot there, but yeah. Ashley Naddison, he put them up before halftime, before Robbie McKenzie scored twice for an unassailable 3-0 lead. And then Charlie Alcaraz grabbed the consolation at the end. But ultimately, we exit the cup, and the chances for game time for the younger, hungrier players will have to come in the league. So, yeah, very disappointing. Kev?
I mean, right from the beginning, it was another confusing lineup. I think
11 changes.
Yeah. You know, Russell Martin's got us back in that Saints tradition of scratching our heads when the team sheets come out and wondering what the fuck the formation is and who's playing where. Yeah, apparently shoehorning Perot into the centre back position for no apparent reason. And, yeah, a few youngsters, Jaden McComa, Sam Amamior, Shea Charles getting a start. Yeah, Gineppo Mara out of the doldrums. Yeah, Maka back between the sticks. We kind of expected Maka to be there, but, yeah, the rest of the squad, I mean, in hindsight, it was quite unnecessary. And the way I prefer things to be done is to have, you know, a reasonably strong team, maybe a few more starters. You know, James Ward-Prowse, why not play him in his last game?
Yeah, see, this is the cynical side of me. I'm thinking, why don't we play James Ward-Prowse and then cup tie him?
Yeah.
And same with Lavia. Fuck you guys, you can't have him. Well, you can have him, but you have to play him in the league instead.
You need those players that that can make a difference off the bench if needed, if there's something wrong. And you need the players there who need to get a chance and get minutes if we're ahead. So, yeah, I was expecting to be a bit more balanced. And yeah, right from the outset, it was clear that something was very wrong. And there was just not really the players there to fix it.
No, and
so
definitely,
just left
definitely the style that he adopts as well for those youngsters is not working there. But yeah, I mean, Magoma, making his senior debut. Amoameyor, first senior start. We're going to see more of him, but people like Magoma are probably not going to get that chance now because we're not playing in the cup anymore. And then you've got to look at the likes of Mara and Gineppo, who are, they've been out of favour, haven't they? But yeah, really, really shaky, wasn't it, all over? And the back line was awful. A lot of pressure on Magoma, though. I mean, making his debut, and he's got to rely on his senior teammates, but he just let down by them. And we talk about how this team is too big and it has no depth. Well, this game just goes to show that, because Bree and Lianco are not up to it, whether they're starters or they're backups. And bearing in mind, if we lose Kyle Walker-Peters in this transfer window, we've got Bree at right back, that's it. We're already thin at centre back, and Lianco, he's just not up for it. Not a convincing showing from Perro in the centre, but and McCarthy obviously had a shocker, but I don't know, Perro though, are we going to give him the benefit of the doubt here because he's playing in an unnatural position? He's been out injured, he's had a big layoff, and like you said, shoehorned, he's unfamiliar. We know his position. When he's playing at left back, the only thing that lets him down really is his position. And it kind of did here as well, didn't it? But when you're playing in the centre and you make mistakes, it's usually a goal. And we saw this, his back pass that just went out for a corner early on. And I mean, he picked up a booking early as well, just all over the place. And Bree and Lianco, just giving the ball away so many times. And I mean, hopefully it was just more a question of complacency than rather, this is just a normal reaction from us now.
Yeah, I mean, if you thought that Stevens, Bednarik and Bazuna were bad, well, then how about Lianco, Perot and McCarthy? Bree, very, very poor. Goma, I feel sorry for Miles, not really impressing.
Well, see, this is the thing. I mean, Martin was really, really okay with his youngsters. He wasn't going to throw them under the bus. It was other players that he was discussing. It's 12 minutes into the game and Nadison scores. James Bree trying to bring the ball out, loses possession, out of position, and we're not good enough to regroup. And it was just a simple cross into the box, 1-0.
Yeah, Lianco and Perro, they were too slow even to get to him. He's not the fastest of players, but charging down that left wing. They should have got to him.
I'm going to say, this new set piece coach proved to be inspired. Free header from a corner. What the hell are you working on? Happened against Norwich as well. I mean, well, no, that wasn't a goal, was it? We were just lucky to get one because he hit the crossbar. But that wasn't enough. You know, you can't leave people free on corners. It's so simple. But they hit the bar and McCarthy was absolutely nowhere near. I think Shea Charles was supposed to be marking actually as well, but he was nowhere near him.
Made him look like a right fool.
And then on the 51st minute, and this may shock you, Kevin, Gillingham made it 2 and it was from a set piece. Hard to believe, right?
I mean, Maka looked even more of a bumbling twat in this one.
How bad was that defending?
Horrific, yeah. It's a free kick, isn't it? Just looping up the far post and
McCarthy decides to dive over the ball.
It doesn't take much of a touch on them. Elmer and McKenzie both get a touch on it and just roll straight under him.
That ball was unchallenged on 3 separate occasions. Like first the head, then it goes down, and then it goes into the box, and he's just tapped it in. Three attempts we could have got that clear and we never did it.
Deserved everything we got.
Yep, and then another set piece, another goal. It's almost like giving a penalty away.
Shock horror, yeah.
And yeah, poor Tyler Diblin, he came on for his debut with only 6 minutes to go and it's like, what are you going to do? But we did get a goal back, as I say, Alcaraz. And good finish from him, actually. But the damage was done.
Yeah, and Cammy Doyle, also coming on. He looked all right, actually. He did well to hold the ball up and feed it in for Alcaraz.
Yeah, yes, he did, actually. I want to talk... Have you heard that Russell Martin's comments?
Yeah.
Okay, because I really want to get into this, because I quite liked it, because it's not... you take a look at what Ruben Sayers was saying at the end of a loss, and it was all players are working hard, they're doing this. We know what we've got to do, we'll be better, but... You never actually believed it. It was just all, you know, sucking up to the fans and not throwing his players under the bus. But what Russell Martin said after the game completely changed that, and he wasn't afraid to call his players out. I want to get to grips with everything that he said after that game, and I want to get your opinions on it. So, yeah, I'm going to pick the bones of this statement. So bear with me on this one, Kev. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So I saw too much stuff that we haven't worked on and people trying to write their own script. We weren't brave enough to play properly in the first 25 minutes. After Friday's performance, rather than doing the stuff we work on, we had people doing stuff they wanted to do in self-preservation mode. There was too much disappointment and way too much pity and feeling sorry for themselves for some people. And they're probably the ones who understand they won't be here or they know they won't be a part of the journey. We had one player playing out of position, really, and we didn't see that being a problem. Out of the 9 senior players, a lot think they are Premier League players. You're not when you turn up like you did tonight and you don't stick to the work we've done and don't want to be brave enough and feel sorry for yourself. We have a really big squad, but I'm not sure we have a really big squad of players that can help us. It's not a worry. We trained with 10 boys at home this morning and 8 guys who were outstanding on Friday and will be huge in what we do. There were probably too many on the pitch who think they would be elsewhere, and that's my fault. I should have took that into account more, but I thought it would be a good chance to show what they can do on the pitch. Wow. What do you make of that, Kev?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to, you know, put some names to the descriptions. Who feels that they're not going to be here this season?
Wow. Okay, so I'm glad you said that, because he's praised his younger players, right?
Yeah, I think they deserve
perhaps giving them a longer leash. So, like, Magoma, Amo Amayor, Charles.
He was great. Mm.
Yeah. Everyone else is fair game then. So we have to look at the players like Mara, Gineppo, Lianco, Bree, maybe Perot. But those are the sort of players that I think he's referring to. They won't be here again anymore, or they won't get that chance anymore. I know he's talking about Bree, because what Bree did for that opening Gillingham goal was not what Russell Martin wants. He just picked the ball up and decided to run with it. That's not what they worked on. They were working on passing it around the back. He decided to go for it. He lost the ball, didn't get in the position. So centre backs weren't quick enough, weren't switched on, and they went 1-0 down.
Mm.
But yeah, considering how Ruben Sayers defended his players after every single loss when you needed to give them a, you know, rocket up the ass, this is refreshing for me. I think this is a great thing that Russell Martin's done. He's not mentioned any players specifically.
Yeah, I think he does have to take a bit of the blame, though.
Well, he does. I mean, he does say
he's the one who picked the squad.
That's true, but he does say that there's probably too many on the pitch that think they'll be elsewhere, and that's my fault. So players that think they can be playing in the Premier League still.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Yeah.
I think that's Lianco.
I mean, if he sees that, then, you know, why play him?
Mm. Well, yeah, exactly. That's his fault. He's taking responsibility for that.
Mm. Well, let's first talk about the architecture of the conversation that he just gave. I think it's well-rounded. I think it's full of, facts. I think it's also full of emotion, in that he has created an entire culture and buy-in within the club. So to me, I really, really liked it, because I felt that he was a tried and true manager. And while, yeah, you said Ruben Saez will always go and defend and he's the nice guy, Martin comes from, he's got an aura around him that I just, I like and appreciate. So to me, well, you know, take the, he's just saying a couple of players were all right. So you got maybe, you know, Alcaraz came in fine, maybe Stu. And I think that Perot was out of position is the one that he mentioned as he was playing center back and a 5'8" center back. Beyond that, though, everybody else is fair game. So to me, what I like about it is he was honest, open, and really emboldened what is the champ, you know, the promotion push. So he needs to get going. You know, he wants the team to get going and make an impact and recognize that every little bit makes a huge difference. So to me, you know, who the players are, challenge them, push for them to be success, to be the best that they possibly can. And in the end, it wasn't what he wanted, and nor was it for anybody to want. We just got completely romped and it looked like shit.
Yeah, I just think it's refreshing. I like it. And I like the fact that he didn't call out any player specifically, but just told him that he wasn't happy with it and it's not what we worked on. But yeah, Kev, do you have any stats from that game? I don't know if I want to hear them.
Yeah, I mean, as usual, we bossed the possession, 73% possession, took 868 touches, 668 passes. Accuracy of 90%. Shots, 20 shots, would you believe it?
Well,
four of them were on target.
Yeah, see, these possession stats and these passing stats, like 660-odd passes to their 233, it means absolutely nothing if you can't do anything with it. If you're completely clueless with it like we were, then these stats don't matter.
I mean, it's a lot, but it's less than what we've been seeing in the championship, isn't it?
Yeah, Tim, I think this loss, in a way, it could be a good thing because the timing is perfect. I mean, Russell Martin will have learned a lot about his players here, who he can and who he can't trust. And we still have the time to put that right, you know, get rid of these untrusted players that he's talking about and bring in the types of players that I think, well, that he thinks will work for him. So it's better to have this problem now than, you know, say October, November time.
There's opportunity to come from it. Whether or not we actually take it and run with it, we'll really see. But you can see this, I won't say the silver lining, but you can see that there could be something to make of it and use it as a turning point. So to me, let's just hope for the best because it's going to be a long season regardless. And I'm kind of scared. And I mean, but kind of, I'm definitely scared. I'm always going to be scared. I think the championship gives me more heebie-jeebies and even the Premier League. You know, what you got to take with what was given to us now. So let's just run with it and let's push on. Let's march on.
Let's march on, yeah. Kev, man of the match for Gillingham. I mean, I don't mean poor Gillingham. I mean the Gillingham game.
Yeah, I mean, that McKenzie was looking quite good. I think it's got to be one of the youngsters. They are the only ones who come out of this looking, I mean, not good, but at least retaining some modicum of dignity. Sam Amayor was good in preseason. I thought he looked all right against Gillingham. It's just unfortunate that the rest of the team weren't really up to it.
You're giving it to Sam?
I gave it to Sammy, yeah.
Sammy Ami.
Sammy the Saint, yeah.
Yeah, I'm giving it to Sam as well. Amayor, for me, I think he's the one that showed the most promise. He wasn't afraid to run with the ball. He wanted to. Obviously, he was doing what Russell Martin had told him to do.
And shout out to Corey Doyle and Alcaraz coming off the bench, making a little bit of a difference, but it was just too little, too late.
How often have we heard that? Yeah, Tim.
Alex McCarthy, duh.
Oh, fuck off.
Now you'll see SAA come into his own this season, and this was a part of the opportunity that he's had, and obviously coming on as a sub here in the Norwich game, and then potential injuries. Whether we see with Adozie or Tella, if there's anything that comes about from it, I think he'll be the next one to slot in.
Yeah, he's exciting, and then he came on. I know that he didn't really have much to do, but he did look good even when he came on against Norwich, and I thought, yeah. I'm excited about this kid. And like you said, Tim, I think it's going to be a really good season for him. It's going to be a breakout now. And let's hope he can continue. And if Adosie isn't fit, give him a go. Give him a start. Why not? Everyone wants to see it. And on to that Norwich game then. Yes, an entertaining match. Crazy scoreline. Although the previous home game also ended in 4-4.
Bookending the season with a 4-4 draw.
Yeah, so the St Mary's faithful certainly getting their money's worth. But yeah, fantastic atmosphere. And I mean, I'll go as far as to say that the Itchen Chapel was the best I've heard. It was incredible support. I mean, even at 3-4 down after 83 minutes, there was still optimism, even from me, believe it or not. That's how well it sounded. It was excellent. But yeah, 4-4, obviously. And one change from that win at Hillsborough. Forget the 11 at Gillingham. James Ward-Prowse out, obviously. Stuart Armstrong comes in. Still no Che Adams. The gaffer sticking with Adama, if it ain't broke, I guess. Kevin, Captain Jack, taking control.
Yes.
Happy with that decision?
Yeah, Captain Jack Sparrow, the Cornish pirate, yeah. I think we saw it coming. We'd talk about candidates if Prowse left. Well, I'd say if and or when Prowse left. He's the only real candidate, isn't he?
I guess.
Even though he was out on loan last season. Maybe there's a case to make the stew, but yeah.
This is the thing I was thinking about during the game, actually. It's like he's the most important, influential player as a captain and all that, but he wasn't even in the team last year. So it's like, but yeah, like you said, who else is there? You can't give it to Walker Peters. I mean, he's going to be off, I reckon. And who else is going to take it? No, I hope
Stewie.
Not. But again, there was talk about him moving to Torino in the off season, and I don't think anybody trusts him to play 90 minutes anymore, which is sad because he came off yesterday, which I wasn't happy with. But hey ho, he's the manager; he knows what he's doing. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I still want to see more of Lavia. I know he's going to be going, but I still want to see him just to get the most out of him while we can. He's still our player, the best player we've got in the middle. So I don't.
Yeah, but you know, when you've got a player that's worth 50 million, are you going to risk it just for a minimal difference in one or two games?
Yeah, I do get it. That's what you stuck with. I mean, okay, it's a decent team. And the only question I had, Tim, was Che Adams not starting and Adam Armstrong taking his place. I know it was vindicated, but I mean, he's got 3 goals in 2 games now. Well, 2 of them from the spot and 1 of them took a deflection off his head, but still has to go with it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it didn't take long for Norwich to take the lead. 9 minutes, in fact. Just a bad goal to give away. So much space at the back stick and just made it look really simple, didn't they? And it came at such a bad... I mean, there's never a good time for a goal, but it just seemed like this was bad because we had the pressure. We had lots of the ball. Norwich go forward, and I think it was pretty much their first attack, and they score. So that was a huge worry. It was just that we're going to be too easy to score against.
Yeah, classic header in at the back post. It's such a simple thing to do.
Yeah, I don't know if it's they made it look good or we made them look better. I don't know.
Benarek and Stevens took a step up thinking, and so they were in communication there. So we made it was our mistake that led to the first goal. I think there was still a chance for Barnes to be able to score it, but if we were able to drop back whomever was on the right side there, either be miscommunication. I think maybe Bednar crossed over or Stevens crossed over and they just weren't there and he slipped through. Walker Peters wasn't able to track back because he was still taking the guy on the far post. It was shit. It's on us and 1-0 to Norwich.
Yep. But what I did like was the response, and not just from that game. It was from that goal, from the whole performance. The response was so, so pleasing because how many times have we seen the head go down? Even when we go 1-0 up, we end up losing 2-1 last season. So it was so pleasing to see that. And we, 17 minutes, Jan Bednar at Yanni B, Kyle Walker-Peters cross, Captain Jack header. Angus Gunn actually makes a fucking save at St Mary's. That's what, the first time ever. and it rebounds and Bednarik first goal in 18 months. Brilliant response and just didn't let the deficit affect them in the slightest, and lots of belief. And I don't know whether that's Russell Martin or if it's just that we're playing championship opposition, but whatever it is, it's great. It's a great response.
We've kind of expected there to be lots of goals at both ends this season, and against stronger opposition like Norwich, you kind of expect there to be a lot of goals. So yeah, the fact that we weren't trailing by a huge amount at any point really in the game, it's a testament to the new style that we're playing. I like Bednarek's goal. He kind of just boots it back to where it came from.
Yeah.
Very good instinctive touch.
Angus Gunn's not going to make two saves, surely.
Lightning doesn't strike twice.
No. New goal song. Oh, did you hear this? Zombie no. Nation. Oh, God. People seem to like it. I didn't, you know. But it's been done so many times before. I think Boston Bruins use it as their goal song, and I certainly won't be celebrating that. So, yeah, just get rid of that. I don't like it. I wonder, right, if we're 4-0 down and we grab a consolation, will they still play it? And if they do, who's going to actually enjoy it then?
It's just it comes with such veracity. The word is not coming to me right now, but it's such a strong song that if you are 4-0 down, you score that consolation goal. I don't think it's worth it. I think I think Zombie Nation is deserved for a 90,000 person college football game where people have been tailgating and getting smashed for, you know, 12 hours straight, and the student section is just absolutely rocking and rolling. Not for a 30,000 seat St. Mary's Stadium. It's not, you know, on a 3 p.m. kickoff. It doesn't match it. Whereas if you had something like, you know, Chelsea Dagger to be able to play in the as the goal song, let's go with Chelsea Dagger.
No, you play that at Chelsea. That's it. No, you need to be playing The Saints Are Coming, which they walked out to, by the way. Kev, it's back.
Yes.
Yes, that was good. No more insomnia. It was,
What is it? Wasn't there a Muse one that they used to do?
Oh, I've done a lot. They've done a Queen one years ago at the Dow. They did One Vision, which was good. But yeah, it's got to be The Saints Are Coming. It's got to be. But yeah, that was good. Yeah, no Prowsey, of course. So we have Smallbone and Manning on corners and free kicks. And Adam Armstrong on penalties, which seemed like a good choice in hindsight. But yeah, did you see that? I thought there was going to be an argument with Armstrong and Alcaraz over penalties, because as soon as we awarded that first penalty, Alcaraz was near the ball, and I think he actually picked it up first. And I thought, oh no, who's going to have it? Is it going to be Armstrong or is it going to be Alcaraz? But yeah, it was Armstrong. Actually, it reminds me of the story that I heard on Thursday night at the Concord. Ricky Lambert was saying that him and Gemma Gulli de Prado, that they used to have arguments. Well, Lambert's the penalty taker, right? He never missed one. So
yeah,
it's Lambert's penalties. But every single time there was a penalty, Gulli picked the ball up and he wanted it. And there was an argument and Lambert had to push him away several times. Just like, go away. Like, I'm the penalty taker. I'm on penalties. Don't touch it. And then there was an occasion where Saints went to the Den. Saints got awarded a penalty in the 93rd minute. And Ricky said, yeah, Gulli, do you want it? And he said, no, it's all right. You take it. And he gave it to Lambert. He passed up on that one. So yeah,
couldn't handle the pressure.
Exactly. But yeah, the new combination.
That's quite a smart psychological move from.
Exactly, it worked as well because you got to have the balls to do that. But yeah, new combination of kick takers. One display for that second guy, as I say. Smallbone whips in the cross. Shane Duffy handballs it. Penalty. Any arguments, Tim?
I think it was a little unlucky on Duffy's part because
unlucky
he
on
did...
Duffy.
Yeah, well, he jumped. So by jumping into and getting, jumping into the player, his positioning and his hand just kind of went over the top. Normal balance, but it's for him to be able to control it. He's a central defender. He needs to be in control of his body, and he wasn't. So it's the two things that I always have are, when it comes to a handball, if your hand is above, if the ball hits the hand above your shoulder, or you have a handball that hits either in line with the shoulder or above your head, at that point in time, it's absolutely handball. So it's right.
Well, yeah, it's unnatural, isn't it?
You know,
it's away from the silhouette, as they say. But yeah, it's a harsh one. I can see why they'd argue it, but it's handball, and you can't look at that because, well, there's no VAR. But yeah, good penalty, Kev. Well taken, and already matched his total from last season.
Yeah, reassuring about Armstrong. Our penalty is not as nervous as when Prowsey used to take them.
Oh my God, you say that. You can actually see me on that 97th minute penalty that he, with the equaliser at the end. I wasn't watching. You could see me on the championship highlights. I had my head in my hands. I couldn't watch it. So yeah, no, I don't agree with that. I was still nervous. But yeah, Gabriel Zara. Very, very good goal from Zara. Just kind of hit it. And I think Smallbone gave up on that very, very quickly. And just not much of an effort to get the ball back, which is sad because, I mean, he's been the best player on the field for winning back possession lately. But,
did he get megged by him?
Did he get megged? I don't know if he got megged. But yeah, I don't know. It just didn't seem like he was...
It just takes a couple of touches around him and just...
Blast.
Rifles it in.
Yeah. Yeah, a decent goal. But then... You know, the third Norwich goal, Jonathan Rowe, this was just fucking awful. What a way to concede. You know, just on the stroke of half time.
From another set piece.
This is so bad. When you've recently appointed a set piece specialist who eats, sleeps corners, and you concede a goal like that, unmarked in the centre of the box, what have you been working on? That's just so. It was right on the penalty spot as well. And the header just kind of loops over into the corner. Do you agree with that?
I mean, he kind of got to it. He got towards it. I mean, he was just a fraction of a second too late.
He was just too far away from it. I mean, I don't want to blame him too much for that goal. Because actually, when I was at the stadium, I thought it was his fault. I was blaming him for quite a lot of it, actually. But then when I looked back at it, I thought, well, he's definitely not going to get the second one. I can't really blame the first one on him. And that one was probably the worst. But I don't know.
So there was an unmarked man at the penalty spot, and yes, he was able to get a header. So
yeah. No, I know.
Problem. That's the problem.
That's the phase one of it. But yeah. Bazunu, if he was in a better position, dare I say, if he had a better goalkeeper, that wouldn't have gone in.
It makes it hard to defend Bazunu because it just feels like he doesn't do enough. But I really think it's the defense that are letting him down. And if you see his ability to reach, I mean, he can cross the goal his distance that he can cover in a leap is pretty remarkable to me.
And yeah, it's just a shame that it goes right through him all the time.
Yes. So, you know, he can make the long save to the side. And the problem with the goal was really the unmarked man. And I think his positioning was fine. If he was maybe a quarter step or a half step to his right, I don't think he gets it, but what I do think is that if there was a person who is even within an arm's reach of him, that player would not have made such a successful header on the ball, and that was the problem.
Yeah, so. The main issue here is the unmarking. Don't get me wrong, that's the reason that we lost that. But Alex McCarthy conceded three, and everybody is saying you cannot concede three goals and hope to get anywhere. Bazunu conceded four, and basically every shot that hits the target is going in, and no one seems to bring it up. I mean, I was saying at the game, like, Bazunu may as well not even be there. At this point, we should just field 11 outfield players because anything on target is a goal. Once I've watched the goals back, I can't really blame Bazunu. But at the time, it was just like, maybe he was a scapegoat because I'm not a fan of his, so I'm always looking for someone to blame. But yeah, looking back at it, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
He made two saves.
Yeah, it's clear by the fourth one whose fault that was. But we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, once again, though, the response, it was fantastic. From the start of that second half, we could have scored three. We're just all over them. And Adams comes on for a dozy, and it works almost immediately. I guess he was a bit lucky with the rebound from his wayward pass. But, I mean, the movement and the tempo that we were causing there, and it deserved a reward, and we got it, and yeah, that was a really good finish. Game back on, Kev.
I mean, it's a pure Martin ball, isn't it? But Marek to Armstrong, just a really quick touch to Adams, and I think he's looking to pass it towards Armstrong, but it kind of gets tangled in Norwich legs, and just again, instinctively, when he's got those split-second decisions, he takes one touch and then glides it across into goal.
Yeah, it was a good. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like when he's got more time to think about it, he messes
he'll
it
fuck
up.
It up. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the fourth goal. I mean, I thought that was going to be it. We were done for the score in three, or what a game. But no, Christian Fasnacht.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Fastnacht. Sorry. Ryan Manning, I mean, he's been brilliant preseason, start of this season. He's been great, but this was a horrendous error. Just a gift for him. I mean, he just got it caught in his feet, didn't he? And Bazunu was never going to save that one.
I mean, it's quite an extensive catalogue of errors, isn't it?
What, the whole game or that in, that
yeah,
in general?
Yeah, the whole game. That one. It's Teller who gets outsprinted by Giannoulis. That just sort of looping ball out there. I don't know what the fuck Stevens is doing.
No, but once again, though, the belief to get back into the game from even going, 4-3 down that late, not just because it was an open game, but I mean, the tempo was great. And we all know Russell Martin's slow build up style. But when we need a goal, there is another way to play, because we saw that. And we didn't see any of this last season, so that was good to see. And it was a penalty. I'm unsure about this one, Tim, because Giannoulis, he pushes Kyle Walker-Peters, and he goes down. Embellishes, maybe?
Does he?
I don't know. I mean, he made the most of it.
No, it's soft.
It is a soft one, yeah.
It's soft, but it's a penalty. I think what really got what Norwich got screwed on was, I don't think there was an offsides on that goal that they had with Barnes in the second one, and the basically off the corner kick that they had, or the free kick. I think that I really think that they got hosed, because I think Giannoulis, or whatever his name was, he was onside. If VAR would have intervened at that point if it was in the Premier League, and yes, in that case, it did save us. But I think the penalties are both penalties. Yeah, it's soft and he ran through. And what the reason for the penalty is, you saw the shoulder bar, not the shoulder bars, the forearm.
Yeah, no, I can see why it was given. I just think it was a bit harsh. I think if that had been the other way around, if we'd have conceded a penalty like that, I don't think we would have been too happy about that.
Put your forearm down, and if he went in and it was just his body, then it wouldn't have been it. But because of the forearm barge, that was the reason for it.
Yeah, and well done to Armstrong, Kev. Nerves of steel. Like I said, I couldn't watch it. Let alone having the balls to take it. So 7 minutes into stoppage time in front of over 30,000. Well done.
Yeah.
That's why you're getting paid. Yeah, brilliant. It's he's eclipsed his total already now. Double figures for Adam Armstrong. It's coming.
Yeah. I think the second one was actually pretty poor. Gun just went the wrong way. The first one was great.
Gun's never going to save it. So if it was off target, then fine. But yeah, Gun was never going to save it.
I would say it's a poor penalty, because it was, basically waist height and just to the right. He went the same way or the same direction. Gun would have easily saved it if he went the right way.
But
and
yeah,
that makes Adam Armstrong the top scorer in the championship, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you include the steal off of Teller. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think we have to, don't we?
Yeah. It's great.
But I mean, just with that penalty, I thought that Kyle dived.
Yeah, I'll say he embellished a little bit. I think he made the most of it.
I think it's a dive, yeah.
So you would have booked him for that?
Yeah, I wouldn't have given the penalty.
Would VAR have overturned that?
No,
it wouldn't have. There's not enough clear and concise evidence that would have said it.
Maybe not, no. Yes, Russell Martin style, I don't think it's helping us at times. It's not improving us, I don't think. And I think it put us in trouble quite a few times, because if you get a team that presses, and Norwich were pressing, and in the sense they were playing the same sort of style as we were, because they had a shocking defensive display also, but they were pressing up high and they were passing it around the back also. Which is probably why it was a 4-4 draw. But being pressed in possession at the back is a complete disaster, and it almost cost us a few times. So I don't know. There's a time and a place for it.
We did say this before that, you know, we can't go playing like that against the likes of Norwich.
Exactly what we said. Yeah, and if there's anyone that's got some pace and if they press you, then you are going to get exploited because they were on the counter attack. That's all they had. It could have cost us. So
against us, that's all you need, you know.
We haven't got a decent goalkeeper. We haven't got a decent back line. We will get punished. And we've seen 4 goals at home. Like I said, it cannot be sustainable. You can't do that every week. And you can't hope to score 4 goals every week. So I was a little bit disappointed with his post-match interview because he said a 4-4 was probably deserved. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel, but I disagree with it because I think there were moments in that game where we dominated and they were there for the taking. We should have got 3 points, not just in possession, but we did have some great shots. I mean, Alcaraz at the bar, didn't he, at one point? Mm-hmm. I thought Angus Gunn knocked that onto the bar, by the way, but obviously I didn't get to see a replay. But yeah, and Alcaraz shot just wide as well when it was 4-4. Which was right at the end. That was a really good... Stu had some really good shots. And when it was 3-3, yeah, they were there for the taking, I think. When it was 3-3, I did a draw at that point. It was kind of an injustice because I thought, you know, Norwich really only had those 4 chances and they were catching us on the counter. And because we haven't got that goalkeeper, we got punished. The back line.
Well, I mean, at that point, that's when the Barnes goal came, didn't it? So it could have easily been 4-3 then already. The offside goal.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Bazuno pulls off a double save. That must be the 2 saves where they came from, where it's Fastnacht, isn't it, on the counter and follow up by Springer. That's where the 2 saves come from. So, yeah, it could have been 5-3.
So it could have been a lot worse. I get that, and we've come away with a point. But as I'm saying, more of the game, I felt like we were going to get the 3 points here. That was, I think anything less was an injustice. But the way we got back to 4-4, then, you know, you take it. But
it was a bit like against Wednesday when, you know, that pressure was kind of, you know, you kind of felt that the goal had to be coming.
Yeah, but then I didn't see a goal coming because I just didn't think we had enough to break through. But, well, all those shots and possessions, we only scored 2 goals. So, but yeah, we can score, but we can also concede. I did say last week that this Norwich game is going to be a big, big marker. And it also, because, you know, Norwich are one of the top teams in the league and you're playing at home to a top team. We'll see how we get on. And not only that, without Ward-Prowse as well, see how we're going to fare for the rest of the season. Going ahead, I think there's a big, big, big week ahead for Russell Martin to sort out that defence. And please, please, please sort out those bloody corners. Can't be having that anymore.
Seth Peters, God's sake. Just do that non-stop every day.
Sam Adozie, Will Smallbone, yeah, they come off injured. And Adozie felt his hamstring, I think it was, but signalled to come off. And that was precautionary, I hear. So, and Martin said he think he'll be okay. So I do think Adozie will be in line for that Plymouth game. Smallbone, as you said, Kevy, I took a heavy whack on his ankle. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens with him. Russell Martin then said, I'm angry and annoyed at conceding 4 goals. But on the other hand, we're so pleased and proud of the lad's character to be the aggressor with the ball and be so dominant in some parts. That kind of sums up how I felt, really. Kev, some stats?
Yeah, possession. 70% possession again.
There you go again.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? Mm. Almost 1,000 touches, 928. And these are going to be we didn't really talk about this before, but these are going to be the key stats, aren't they? That
touches and passes, yeah.
709 passes, 89% accuracy.
Yeah, the passing accuracy is good. It's going up. 29 shots. Lots of shots. Lots and lots of shots. 8 on target, though. So
fucking hell.
Not great. XG,
say 21.
29.
I got 31 for some reason.
Oh, okay. Maybe they were blocked and they were just disputing it. XG, Tim, do you know XG?
I'm going to go with 2.2.
What, for Saints or Norwich?
For Saints.
Well, Norwich had 2.0. Yeah, 2.0.
Norwich. Ours is going to be high. It's going to be like...
Well, we had 2 penalties, so that's 0.75, so that's 1.5 right there. I'm going to go... Yeah, I'm still going to go with 2.2,
2.3.
3.5.
3.6. Wow. I'm off.
Tim, man of the match, you can go first.
Great question. There's a lot of there was a lot of quality throughout the team. I think Alcaraz is just waiting for his moment. He's had a couple great balls in and looks to be, you know, one of the first people on the team sheet, if not the first people. Our defense is looking rough. If we fix our defense, we have an elite attack when it comes to the championship, easily top five based on what we're seeing so far. And if we keep Adam Armstrong and Shea Adams, which I sincerely hope we do, we can potentially outscore people. So if we just get that center back in or somebody who can solidify, so the defense needs some work big time. A lot of small bone for a lot of the things that he did. Stu came in and did his job with what he could, you know, what he could do. But 90 minutes on the pitch, running around, making a fool of himself, and wants to be here with us and fighting is Adam Armstrong.
Yeah, I'm going to take him too. Adam Armstrong for me as well. Cause when I saw the lineup first, I thought, my first thing I thought was, oh, Christ, you know, Che on the bench again. And I keep thinking that Che's going to be off. And what's Armstrong doing that Che isn't? Well, they're both scoring goals, but Armstrong gave it everything yesterday. And yes, I know his touch isn't as great as Che's, but he does put a shift in, and he never stops pressing. No matter what the minute, he's just tracking down that goalkeeper, the wing backs. I mean, that track back slide tackle was absolutely brilliant. And his nerve to take both penalties as well under so much pressure. Yeah, and I just think, he deserves man of the match for me. Just very, very worthy.
All right, yeah. I was 50-50 between Adam Armstrong and Will Smallbone, who I thought, you know, that again, that he was under pressure taking over from James Ward-Prowse in that central midfield role. And, again, I think he did really well. So, this time I'm going to give it to Billy Boner.
Will Smallbone, even though he didn't do anything to stop the second goal going in, but no, that's fine.
Hey, if we're going to chalk up everybody's mistakes, nobody will have a chance.
That's a good point. No, I do like Smallbone. I mean, I'm really, really taking notes during the game of what he's doing now, and I mean mental notes, and just the amount of times he wins the ball back. I mean, I haven't got the stats here, but it must have been quite a lot. Yeah, he's been brilliant. And he's a lot better than I thought he was going to be. And I think we're probably going to see a lot more bids come in from him from Premier League teams, annoyingly. But.
Yeah, he topped the table for tackles.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I just think he was great at breaking down the play of Norwich, stopping all the counters that they did have. Well, not all of them, obviously, but yeah. Plymouth, Tim. Plymouth Argyle next Saturday. Saturday the 19th of August at 12:30 kickoff. Early start for the travelling Saints fans at home park. But it is on Sky Sports if you can't make the journey, so stick it on there. Previous time we played Plymouth, right, was May 2011, and that was a 3-1 win. And Ricky Lambert with two and Ryan Dixon with the other. And they actually edge us on head-to-heads, which was a surprise. 32 wins for Saints, 34 for Plymouth, so only two more, and 26 draws. Very good win at Home Park on the opening day. A 3-1 win over Huddersfield, I believe, Tim, and a great goal from Ballymumba, returning to the Championship as well. Away to Watford on Saturday and managed a 0-0 draw, and that was against the team that won 4-0 on the opening weekend. So I don't think they're here to make up the numbers now, as I thought they were. And they're turning some heads. And, you know, Stephen Schumacher is doing a great job there. And was he in line for the Saints job at one point? I'm pretty sure he was.
Yeah, I want to say that. Yeah, he was number two, wasn't he, after Russell
Mark? If you believe those rumours anyway. But, yeah, of course, they were champions of League One last year. And certainly, Tim, they've got me worried now, and especially at Home Park. So try and persuade me to predict a Saints win here, Tim.
I'll do what I can. So Steve Schumacher, you just mentioned, EFL Manager of the Year last year in League One. So finished top of the league. So they made a absolute, I wouldn't say a mockery, but they did a great job and came out of, I wouldn't say came out of nowhere. But they were rated to be, they had seventh best odds 7 best odds to be promoted at the beginning of the season from League One. Taking a look at that, great opportunity for them to be able to succeed here in the championship. So the Pilgrims, I think that's probably one of the coolest nicknames that are around. And just a lot of cool things. I mean, like, I like their name, Home Park. It's very homely. It's very nice. And also their kits, too, the green and gold. Big fan of the way that they've got the white, the away kits, the white with a nice stripe. So all in all, I mean, I don't want to hate on them. Like, I really don't want to hate on them. So what to expect? So they brought back most of their players from last year. Some of them were on loan, and they were able to sign a few of them. And we mentioned Bali Mumba. So Mumba Mania is a big push. He's initially that left wing back in a 5-3-2, but really, when you see the lineup and where he was at in his heat map, he is definitely in the left wing position. So I think he's basically a Tesco Alphonso Davies, because he can push the ball up. He basically resembles what Alphonso Davies is. So if you ever take a look at him,
not as quick.
Yeah, that's why it's the Tesco version. So. Mm. But watch out for him. He's their key player. And go back and look at that goal when he took it from at Huddersfield. So
that was amazing. It
was fantastic. So good. Congrats to their season so far. Currently with 4 points, they made a great start. And you know, Watford's pushing top half the league, and so getting that Huddersfield win, even though they're probably one of the ones in line for relegation.
Don't say that. See, Tim, I'm getting 2010, 2011 Saints League One vibes from Plymouth. They've pretty much got the same core of players, and they're just taking the league by storm. They're underrated.
Yes, they are crossing the Atlantic and landing at Plymouth Rock, just like the Pilgrims did. So, no, it's going to be a tough game. It'll be a home park advantage for them, and the slog of the championship really just pushes on. So I'm way more nervous in the championship than I am in the Premier League, and I don't know why, but I think the idea is that we are out to win every game. And even, I want to say, a bogey game where you've got a ridiculous September coming up where there's just a lot of quality teams that are there. So could we do it? Yes. I think that we definitely have a chance, and they will sit. I think they'll sit back just like every other team that has so far, and it'll be 70-30 possession. We'll have a billion passes, and it'll be tough. They will be able to counter, and that's where most of their goals came about when they beat Huddersfield.
Kev, so, do you see Russell Martin tweaking the defense at all?
That's not much you can do, really, is there?
Well, I know. I bet you could put somebody else in there as well.
What, like Janko?
Yeah.
That's not going to improve it, is it?
Not necessarily. It might, it might take away the pressing a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I think we'll see that on James' side.
I would really like to see an Armstrong and Adams combo. I don't know what Adozie's injury is looking like, if he's going to want to start SAA. And you know, slot him in. I think Armstrong on the left, maybe taking away his ability that he has been with the press up at the top. Who knows? So I think there's going to be some changes. I think either Smallbourne or Dozie is going to get rotated out because of injury. But the defense, I don't think we have any better options right now.
That's my worry. Predictions then. Do you know, Tim, you're not really filling me with confidence on Saints for this, because I had a score line in mind, and I was kind of hoping you were going to persuade me otherwise. Not necessarily persuade me, but just give me more confidence in this, because I've got a 2-1 win to Saints, because there's no way we're going to go to Home Park and not concede, because that's what we do at the moment. So I've got Saints winning, but I was kind of hoping to be a little bit more optimistic about it, but truth is, I can't be. So I'm going to say, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go 2-1 Saints.
Oh, Christ. You see, going into this, I was going to say exactly the same thing, 2-1 to Saints. Am I going to keep it the same? I think I will this time. That was my prediction. I've had it written down. And again, I've written it down as 2-1 Plymouth, but no, 2-1 Saints.
Okay. Tim, come on. I want to hear this.
We're looking at a high scoring game. I think that we
have 5-4.
I'm going to go with 3-2. Saints win.
Good shot.
I think that it'll be tough. I think we'll concede one early.
Adam Armstrong hat trick.
Oh geez. Well, if I don't know, I don't think so. I mean, unless we get three penalties.
Why not?
Let's just have him stick his face in front of Tell again. He'll deflect something in, and it'll be he's gonna have 10 goals, and it's gonna be the worst 10 goals of the season so far.
Well, he's already the top scorer, and it's already the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's gonna have like 5 penalty kicks, and 2 of them are gonna be because of a dozy and Tell driving into the box.
One of them is gonna shag into the goal or hit his ass or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And you shame him.
He's gonna fall over. That's what he's gonna do. He's going to be running into the box, busting the gut to get in there. Teller's going to slide in across. He's going to fall over, and it's going to hit his face and go in.
He'll have the first 10 goals he'll have are 5 penalties, the Teller goal that we just saw. It'll be 3 deflections, and then one that'll be basically him a decent goal. So he'll have like 1 quality goal in 10, and it's going to be in 13 games, and you're just going to be like, where the hell are we? And, you know, can we just keep outscoring people? That would be great.
Okay, excellent. Right, I've got it all locked in. You're all there. Moving on. Discord. We had no one, obviously, going for a 4-4, but plenty of going for draws. I think you two were ones that went for draws as well, so you're off the mark now.
In the end, I know I did. I've been getting the results right so far.
But, yes, Tim Brucker leads the league on 7 points. So, yeah, well done. He's predicted a win for Saints and a draw, so that puts him up top. Super 6, I think there's still 2 games to be played, and one of them's the Chelsea-Liverpool one. So as it stands, currently 8 people have 9 points, and I believe I'm one of them. So, yeah. Fantasy Football, Kev. At the moment, as we speak, the big league in that number podcast league, we've got Newchester Pooler.
Are they still top?
Adrian Gelder, yeah, 70 points. At the moment,
that's a good call.
You well, I know Tim's got 60 points at the moment as we speak. Kevin, you've got 57, Kev.
Okay.
So you're doing well.
Is Tim the top podder at the moment?
I believe so. I'm on 15. That can't be. No, I'm on 22. But I mean, I've still got a lot of players to come in. I've got some stuff.
Is she not captain Haaland?
I haven't got Haaland.
Oh, what?
No, I didn't go with him this year. I actually captained Evan Ferguson and he scored. So. No, I didn't go for Haaland. I was trying a different approach this year, if I'm being honest. I just wanted to build from the back, and I've got a real solid defensive line, and I've got 2 solid goalkeepers. So
interesting.
It proves to be not working. So because one of my defenders didn't even play, but I got Wilson to come in. Ben White will come in. For John Stones, that's where we are. What about the Fantasy Championship?
Yeah, our listeners are welcome to join. Just ask us for the code if you want to join Fantasy Championship, courtesy of gafford.io. Cut a long story short, I'm top of the league.
Of course you are.
By quite a big margin as well, 120. Tim Brucker's in second with 101 points, and Timmy's in third place with 94. I had a good signing. Mumba has been in my team, so you got like, was it 12 points or something?
You got Bally Mumba.
He's been doing well for me.
You got him on the bench.
You
got Wilmot starting, and you got Bally Mumba on the bench.
He got me 12 points last week, but yeah 67 is not a bad haul this time. Consistent. I mean,
that is about it this week, Kev. It's been a busy week, but yeah.
Mm.
When shall we 3 meet again?
Same time this week, I think.
That was a Shakespeare quote, by the way. I don't know if you knew, but yeah. My GCSE Shakespeare coming in good use there. It's good.
You've had Shakespeare.
In thunder, lightning, or in rain, isn't it? And when the hurly-burly's done, when the battle's lost and won. See, and you never thought you'd be getting Macbeth from a Saints podcast, but yeah. People say I'd never use it again, but yeah. Next week, we will be back with the Plymouth game, and we'll be all over that QPR game. So, yes, until then, Kevin, up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Sorry, Tim's already left, by the way, so I'll say it for him. Up the Saints.
Up the Saints.
Up my Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.